Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome in. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, the Keystone Sports app. Dustin Hockensmith, Greg Pickle back with us this week, coming off Penn State's bye. We are looking ahead to the season opener Friday night, the Big Ten season opener, rather, Friday night at Maryland. We are also looking back on a weekend where Penn State was not active, but saw a few things that might have helped their cause a little bit. We'll get into those in just a moment. We'll hear from James Franklin what he had to say last week during the bye, what they were looking at, what they were trying to accomplish, including a busy weekend on the recruiting trail. So, Greg, I'm curious your thoughts on Pitt, for starters.
Yeah.
This is a Pitt team that, you know, it was easy last week, probably a little too easy, to look at it as glass half empty when they beat Pitt 17-10. I still look back on that and think it's an underwhelming performance. But Jim and I were talking last week, and I did say, I think several times, Pitt's going to beat somebody.
Right.
And here they go, 35-34. They are...
Is Pitt becoming Northwestern?
I think Pitt was already Northwestern.
Okay, fair enough.
Weren't they?
Yeah.
You know, this
just wanted to get your gears going on a Pat Fitzgerald rant.
Well, they were 7-7 last year. They won the ACC Coastal. That doesn't scream Northwestern to you.
Yep.
I don't know what does. Northwestern had pretty much the exact same season to win the Big Ten West. So they call this Pitt special play, which it looks like the Philly special. Mm-hmm. If you like really dumbed it down and executed it poorly, it still worked.
Right.
But I don't know. I don't really know how Kenny Pickett, the quarterback, didn't get a little bit more outside the scrum. But
right.
Still, it worked. They win 35-34. Buffalo beat Temple.
Yes.
And Idaho, Western Michigan or Central Michigan?
Directional Michigan,
some
yes.
Directional Michigan team. So all three of those teams went into the weekend as underdogs. All three came out as winners. I'm just curious from
Eastern Washington. We were close.
I mean, we knew it was directional. We knew it was some obscure state up north, up yonder.
Yes. Vandals are 2-2 now, buddy.
My question for Pitt, nobody really cares about the Vandals. What if you're a Penn State fan, should you be glad that Pitt won, or do you feel like you're upset that Pitt won? And I think what your answer is should tell you whether they are your rival or not.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a Penn State fan and you're salty today because Pitt won, they're your rival.
Yeah, I got a lot of emails over the weekend from folks, you know, suggesting that this win validates Penn State's 7-point win over Pitt. And I understand that to a degree. I don't think UCF is as good as maybe they looked in the rankings, but you can only beat who you play, and you can only, you know, hang your hat on the results that, you know, the voters set up for you. And at this point, Pitt went down to UCF last year and was absolutely blown out of the stadium, almost to the point where you wondered if they even got off the plane. And then UCF comes up to Heinz Field, and Pitt finds a way to get it done as an underdog. So it was a good win for Pat Narduzzi and his teams. If you're a Penn State fan, you have to keep rooting for this kind of stuff to happen. Now, as it relates to the Buffalo game, what does that tell us about Maryland? That Maryland was, you know, had its doors basically blown off by Temple. I know that game was close on the scoreboard, but if you watched any of it, it probably wasn't as close as the final stats indicated. And obviously, Penn State had its way with Temple in the second half after a tough first quarter. First half. So when you really look at it, you know, going into this game with Maryland now after the bye week, Penn State's listed as a 6.5-point favorite. I almost can guarantee you it'll get to 7 at least by kickoff, if not 7.5. And they're going to be expected to get down there and take care of business in front of what should be at least a 50-50 crowd representation, if not 60-40 or more, in terms of Penn State fans packing in the College Park. So we'll see. But, you know, ultimately, it was a good weekend, I think, for Penn State to be off and get a chance to self-scout. And then, you know, conversely, you'll want those resume-building opportunities from teams that you already beat, and Penn State was very successful on that front as well.
It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio, Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. So that's what happened off the field for Penn State. Good timing for the bye week, by the way. There's two bye weeks. I know James Franklin said that he would have been, you know, mad or disappointed if this was their only bye week and it came right now. But for them to come out of the non-conference schedule with clearly some stuff to look at coming out of that pit win, and certainly coming out of the Buffalo win too. Mm-hmm. It was an opportunity, like James Franklin said, to self scout when you know the season grind and it doesn't really afford you the opportunity to really look at yourselves too hard because you're in that mode of game planning and looking at film from the past week. So this was a chance for Penn State to do that. One of the things that happened while this was going on, and it shouldn't come as a big surprise, RJ Adams' decommitment.
Yep.
He was a kid who was pretty gleeful about taking SEC trips
right.
and getting SEC offers and all that kind of stuff. And it seems like he deserves them. But so he's not, there wasn't a big formal announcement or anything, but he's no longer part of the class.
Yeah, I think that just came down to a point where, you know, he recently came to campus for a visit, but he also seen Kentucky and some other schools. And I think that just got to a point, Dustin, where the coaching staff was just like, you know, we've been pretty straightforward about our approach to things as it relates to, you know, dealing with visits by committed guys. They don't want them to take visits. They don't want them to go see other schools. And I think, you know, you have to be willing to understand that some kids do want to take visits. Some kids do want to go check out other schools, and you're not going to stop every kid that commits to you from doing that. And conversely, and if you bounced every kid that did that while he was committed to you, you probably wouldn't have much of a signing class yet. So it's a double-edged sword a bit. But, you know, when you go up to Penn State for that official visit, which he took in early September, I think that was, from Penn State's perspective, a chance to lock him down and to end this whole visit tour that he's been on. And then he pops up at Kentucky the next week. And I think that probably was sort of the end of the line for Penn State and the coaching staff. And for him, you know, I think he was probably leaning this way for some time. So it's not a huge shock that this was ultimately what he decided to do.
Do you think it's I'm sure we'll tackle this a little bit later in the week, but do you think it's mandatory for Penn State to go replace him with an offensive lineman? Do you think they need the numbers that bad, or is
no.
it just best available slot?
At this point, I think it's best available. I mean, I think that, you know, they took Devin Willick, who was a guy that probably could have committed sooner, commits on September 1st. I think they knew where things were going with him. RJ Adams at that point when they took Willick, I think
yeah.
that obviously Ibrahim Traore is a guy they've been after for a really long time. They're able to close that one down here in the last week or two. So, I mean, you know, it's been an interesting year for offensive line recruiting. They had as many as six. They were down to as many as three. Now they're back up to five, you know. If you find a guy out there, I think you take him, but I don't think you rush to take one. I don't think you take a flyer on a guy. I think you either got to find a stud or you just keep moving forward.
It's the Keystone Kickoff Show brought to you by GoPSURV.com. We got a little week breather here. You're on Friday night at Maryland. Purdue comes to town next weekend, October 5th. Good opportunity with a noon kickoff to try to explore some alternative travel arrangements. And if you're doing that, I think GoPSURV.com has to go right at the top of your list. You can show up there on Friday. You can leave on Sunday. You get a shuttle back and forth to the stadium and back. You tailgate literally the whole time. I can speak from experience on that one. Really cool scene there, including big screen TV for you to watch, you know, games that are on Saturday night, for example. It's really the ultimate tailgating experience. The 409 Tailgate Club guys are there serving food, really from top to bottom. Just a cool experience, a good way to take in a football game in Happy Valley. If you haven't done it yet, go check them out at GoPSURV.com.
Sandy Barber was on that Nitwiz TV show
yeah.
recently, and I guess she said that they're going to get it right in terms of parking, and that Atherton is not going to be no longer an option. My only suspicion is that are they going to maybe try and reroute some folks through that neighborhood on the backside of Park Avenue coming up Atherton? Are they going to maybe reroute some folks through campus using using maybe Bieber Ave and cut across there somewhere? Maybe Gardner Street, maybe something else. I'll be curious to see what kind of fix there is, because it seems experiences vary so greatly, it seems, with this parking situation.
Right.
You have people who say this is the easiest I've ever been, and I've been coming for games for 30 years. You have people conversely who say I've been coming to games for 30 years and this is one of the worst experiences I ever had. Somebody made a good point. I don't remember if it was on Twitter or somewhere else I read it, but you know, one of the biggest problems was the west parking lot. And I didn't really consider this, but if, you know, you obviously had Pitt and Penn State fans coming from the west, maybe more so than normal. And I wonder if that played a role in, you know, just too much volume, or maybe not. I don't know. But it'll be fascinating to see what changes are rolled out by the time that noon game with Purdue rolls around.
Guess what? You don't really have to care if you go to GoPSURV.com.
Perfect.
Let them worry about it.
Yes.
That's the whole deal. No, I'm curious to see, Purdue will be a good chance to test if they did make some fixes or not. She mentioned looking at traffic cameras to see where there were holdups, where there are bottlenecks, where things
were
taken.
I think there's plenty of people on social media who could do that for them without the need to look at traffic
cams. Don't even worry about looking at traffic cams. Another little development, we'll hear from James Franklin a little bit later on this one, but Penn State is confirmed to do the 24/7 college football show on HBO. You mentioned it's going to air October 9th. It's going to be from game week for Purdue. James Franklin basically said that it's not much of a change from what they usually have around in terms of cameras and that kind of stuff. And he felt good and comfortable with team leadership and all that to make that happen. What do you want to see from that, by the way? You know, I saw, I think it was one of the blogs put out there, or I think it was Daily Collegian, actually. Five players we want to see. Who would you want to see behind the scenes? CJ Thorpe?
CJ Thorpe would be interesting. I'd like to see some, you know, KJ Hamler and his family are very active on social media a good way. So yeah, I think that that stuff would be good. I think that you know, some of these guys have some really awesome personalities that hopefully this gets a chance to
see a guy like Sean Spencer, by the way, kind of stealing the show a little
bit. I'll be curious to see how they do this because they're there for a week, but the show's only, you know, there's only one show. It's not like there's multiple. So will it focus more on the game? Will it focus more on the behind the scenes with a little bit on the game? You know, will it take a deep dive on some of the coaches? Will it focus mostly on James Franklin? Is it going to stick to the stars? Is it going to find some of the under the radar person? I'd be curious because we know how high of a production quality HBO has, but we don't know necessarily in this environment how it will.
But they
be
don't have a lot of opportunities to build storylines and that. Like, it's not like Hard Knocks where they've got multiple shows to be able to present things. I think it's really going to be a glorified, well-produced sights and sounds leading up to game week where you get a chance to see these guys' personality without really going into any backstories and that kind of stuff. So it'll be interesting. One other thing, and again, we'll hear from James Franklin. I just want to get your thoughts on. He's basically saying there's not going to be any change in the running back rotation. I don't believe that coming out of the bye. I think we started to see signs of it against Pitt, but I don't believe that. We'll see what their depth chart has to say about it. But
yes,
he's just saying it is what it is. They're still going to be – I think we're going to start to see some separation.
Yeah, I mean, you almost have to, right? Well, we've seen separation on the field. I still – after rewatching the first three games, the thing I'm still stuck with as it relates to the running backs is James Franklin saying, oh, well, after after the game on the headsets, the first thing we were talking about was we should have had Noah Kane out there to run the clock out against Pitt. And I'm still stuck on how that didn't happen. But yeah, in terms of the running back rotation, I think it's fairly clear. He said, I don't have his quote in front of me, but something to the effect of, we're going to keep doing this until someone or some, you know, a couple guys separate themselves. I feel like they already have. Maybe it's just a little bit of keeping things under wraps for Maryland. We'll see.
We'll see if that's on Greg's bye week fixes, things that you want to see coming out of Penn State's bye, things that might be different against Maryland. We're going to take a quick break.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.